Well, what a blessing it is to be in God's house today. You know, preaching is good, but singing is good too. Don't you enjoy just being able to get together with God's people and lift your voice and just really express yourself? And so many beautiful songs that we've got that we can sing and then hear other people even hear songs that honor God and lift up the Lord. And it's just a blessing to be a Christian.
Amen.
Blessing to be a Christian. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. About 25 years ago, we were home on furlough and had been in a church on Sunday morning, one of our supporting churches. And that afternoon, we spent time with some people that we were friends with, and they had changed churches, and we didn't have a particular church to attend that night, so they invited us to go with them, and it was my first time to be in that church and first time to hear that pastor. I knew of the church and knew the pastor's name and whatever, but I'd never heard him preach. And we got in there to church, and the singing was just very special, very special. And this man got up to preach, and he preached on glory. And I can't tell you his outline or any of the things that he said now, but I went for 2 weeks on that message. You know, you fill your gas tank and you try to figure out how far you're going to be able to go, how many miles you're going to get out of that tank of gas. Well, I went for 2 weeks, I remember, on that message on glory. And everybody I talked to, I would just want to tell them about that message. And I still haven't gotten over it. It was, of course, about the glory of God. And that he just went on and on and on about the glory of God. Last Sunday night, Brother Fallure was preaching on the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is My Shepherd," and we didn't hear the message from the Sunday night before. We were gone, but we heard last Sunday night's, and he was emphasizing words in that phrase, "Lord is my," I can't repeat it all, but God really emphasized in my heart, Lord, Jehovah, that night. And so much so that Monday, even actually before Monday, on Sunday night, I started searching the Psalms for Jehovah and the things that the Psalms said about Jehovah and His character and what He'd done and different things like that. And Monday it was the same. It just continued. I've got pages. I've jotted down the passages. And one of the passages that I found in the midst of that study is Psalm 107. And you know that our Bible is a book. And within this book, there are 66 books. One of those 66 books is the book of Psalms. And when you take the book of Psalms, then you find that we've got 5 books. And when you get to Psalm 107, it's the first of the last book, or the 5th book of Psalms. But when you get to reading through Psalm 107, you find that it's a book itself. As a matter of fact, as I was reading through this Psalm 107 and just meditating on it, thinking on it and whatever, I found that there are 4 chapters and a conclusion. Very clear. I mean, God, the psalmist makes it so clear as you read Psalm 107, you find God, Jehovah, and His people, and what's taking place in their lives and as God works in their lives. Now, I'm not going to read all of it. Let me just begin reading at this point in verse 1. And I'll read down a few verses and we'll stop, but we'll see all of them before we finish. Start with me in Psalm 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Now, we could stop right there and just take that verse and meditate on it, and revival might break out. There is so much in that little verse. I read one person said that that phrase at the end of the verse, for His mercy endureth forever, appears 34 times in the Bible. And I didn't take time to count them, but I found over in Psalm 136, there are 26 verses. And the conclusion of each of those 26 verses is, for His mercy endureth forever. Now, look again at verse 1 and we'll continue on. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. As we look in this passage, we find Jehovah, God, and His people, and it's a mini book, a small book. It's a book you can sit down, not and read in a day, but you can read it in just a few minutes. This little mini book about God, Jehovah, and His people. And in these verses, we'll read about the troubles of the people. Some people get the idea that if they get saved, they'll never have any troubles. I promise you, if you're saved, there'll be some troublous times. Those are just opportunities for you to cry out to the Lord. And as you cry out to the Lord then responds to you. And we see that repeated in the first chapter of this little book, in the second chapter of this little book, in the third chapter of this little book, and in the fourth chapter of this little book, we read about the troubles of the people, the cries of the people, the God of the people, and then the longing for the people. In verse 6, we find that God delivered. In verse 13, we find that Jehovah saved. In verse 19, we find that Jehovah saveth. And in verse 28, we find that God bringeth them out. But four times, in verse 8, in verse 15, in verse 21, and in verse 31, we find the very same words repeated. At the end of the first chapter in this mini book, at the end of this second chapter in this mini book, at the end of this third chapter in this mini book, at the end of the fourth chapter in this mini book, we hear the same longing by the psalmist. Listen as we look in verse 21, for instance. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. You know, that's a good statement right there. But it doesn't stop there. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works. And that would be good if we stopped right there. But it doesn't stop right there. I think there's a real challenge in this verse for us this morning. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. To our sons and to our daughters and to our grandsons and to our granddaughters. The psalmist here, as he's revealing these chapters in God's people and God's people and their God, as the psalmist is revealing these four chapters, he says, there's a longing in his heart. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. For His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. When's the last time you took your son? When's the last time I got one of my sons here today? When's the last time I took one of my sons or one of my daughters and I just said, I just want to tell you what God's been doing in my life? I mean, I think God wants us to get real personal as He responds to us and as He works in our life. He does it with purpose. Yeah, we can praise Him. We can pray and say, thank you, Lord. And we can even sing songs and say, praise God. But we need to talk to others and say, hey, let me tell you what God's been doing. Let me share with you what God did in my life. And you know, God will allow and God will bring into our lives troubles. Because it's in the midst of those troubles that we have a need for help and we cry out to God. And as we cry out to God, God responds. But here's the problem. So many times we want to talk about our troubles instead of talking about God's response. We have a tendency to forget what God has done because we're focusing on the troubles that we've gone through. Hey, I tell you, people would a lot rather hear about our God and what our God has done than they would to hear about us and our troubles that we've been going through. Well, we see it repeated here again and again. And then we come to the conclusion at the end of the book. But you just stay with me, all right? And let's look at chapter by chapter. And let's hear that longing. Oh, that men. I think that oh is it's to get real personal. The heart of the psalmist. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Oh, has He been good to you? In Uganda, we used to sing a little chorus. He has been so good to me that I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He has been so good to me that I cannot tell it all. He has been so good to me. Isn't that your testimony? I don't care if you've been saved for a day or a week or a month or a year or like me for a long, long time. God's been good to you. Praise the Lord for His goodness. And from His goodness comes His wonderful works. Praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now, I got to move on because my wife told me not to spend too much time on the introduction, all right? So let's get right into the message here. Let's start again in verse 1, and we'll see the first chapter. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They are in trouble, with a capital T. But look at verse 6. Then, hey, without the troubles, we probably wouldn't cry unto the Lord. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses, and He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Amen? And here's that longing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Sometimes, as a child of God, I may find myself in the wilderness. But praise God, I can cry out to Him, and He can hear me, and He can deliver me. Amen? Well, we see in verses 10 through 12, or actually 10 through 16, we find God's people, they were in the wilderness, now they're in captivity. I think that's what a description of what we see here beginning in verse 10. Such a verse 9, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. They're in trouble. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in asunder. We find that they were in trouble and they cried out to God, and crying out to God, God heard their cry and God brought deliverance to them. And the psalmist says, all that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. God brought the deliverance. Praise Him. Amen? Chapter 3. We find the children of God in affliction. And sometimes affliction is our own fault, if we'll be honest. We bring it on ourselves. Sometimes others can bring affliction upon us. Sometimes the devil can bring affliction upon us. But here, it's because of their transgressions, because of their iniquities, because of their sin. They're in trouble. They're in affliction. Verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And the longing comes from the psalmist. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Let's just think about it for a moment. When's the last time you said to somebody, hey, let me just tell you what God's done in my life? Started way back when. Now, can you remember when it started? I'm not asking for a date, but I'm telling you, when you were born again, you'll remember it. If it happened, you'll remember it. But you can go back and, oh, so many things to talk about. I'll have to limit it. I'll tell you about a couple of things, all right? When's the last time you shared with somebody? I mean, you know, I enjoy hearing people tell me how they got saved over and over again. I've never had anybody tell me about their salvation experience so many times that I thought within myself, would you just stop? But I've heard people tell jokes. Same old jokes, Brother Nathan. And I've heard people tell stories, the same old stories, and you don't want to be rude, so you don't say anything, but really you'd rather they just stop. But I'm telling you, when somebody's talking about God and what God's done, if you're alive, you know what I'm saying? If you're alive, you don't get tired of it. You might even say, hey, could you tell me some more? Hey, tell me some more. Tell me some more. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Well, we read about three chapters. Let's read about the fourth chapter. They're in a storm. I'll tell you what. In the midst of a storm, that's a good time to find God, to see God, to watch God work. You remember that time in the New Testament when the disciples were in the boat and there was the storm and Jesus was asleep? And boy, that was quite an experience, wasn't it? Well, here we find God's people going through a troublesome time. Look at verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. God is a God of wonder. Have you ever just had something relative to God and you just couldn't get it all, but you're just were just wondering? I think related to that is the idea of standing in awe of God. I think the word awesome is cheapened when you use it with sports people and things like that. I think the word awesome belongs to God. And the things, I mean, nobody can do anything that even begins to compare with what God has done. And it's sometimes it's in the midst of the storm. Boy, you see God like you've never seen Him before. There's some understanding that comes that you didn't have, but all of a sudden it comes, and I think that's what we're seeing right here. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. That's God. That's Jehovah, the true and living God, the only true and living God, Jehovah. And He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. And here comes the longing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Amen. Four chapters here. Four times we find God's people in trouble, and we find God's people crying out to God, and we find Jehovah God responding to these people. And as He responds and brings deliverance, as He saves them, as He brings them out of those troubles, we find the psalmist saying, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." Then we come to the conclusion. And you get down to verse 33, and you go down through the end of the chapter, and there isn't emphasis here on God's people. It's just on Him. And you see the little pronoun there, he. Six times it talks about God and things that God has done or will do. And then you come to the end in verse 42. The righteous shall see it and rejoice. And all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So we see these four chapters and this conclusion that makes up this mini book, and we can learn some things. You and I are going to go through times of trouble. And when we're going through times of trouble, we need to cry out. By the way, if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your personal Savior, you're in trouble. It's a lot worse than you realize, even. If you're here today without Christ, you are in trouble. Because when you die, you're going to hell. I know that sounds tough. That's Bible summarized. You're going to hell. And you'll burn forever. You're in trouble. But you can cry out to the Lord. And if you'll cry out to the Lord, He'll save you from your trouble this morning. Amen? We go through times of trouble, and in times of trouble we can cry out to the Lord. And as we cry out to the Lord, God responds. And I say again, don't spend all your time talking about your troubles. Spend your time talking about what God did, what God's doing in your life. Think about it. The day you got saved, I was 11 years old. It was 1959. It was Easter. We'd gone to church on Sunday morning. I got a new jacket. I didn't have a suit, but I'd gotten a new jacket. Mom and Dad bought me a new jacket. It was special. I don't even know if they make them anymore, but it was reversible. You could take it off, and when you'd pull it in and out, then it would be different on the other side. And one side was white with these little checks in it, but you couldn't hardly see the checks. You could see the white. The other side was navy blue, dark navy blue. I mean, so dark navy blue you'd almost think it was black. When I went to church that night, I had this new jacket on, and I had that navy blue on the outside. God had already been dealing with my heart, but that night I recognized I was in trouble. I was going to hell as an 11-year-old boy. I remember it. You say, you can't remember that. I do. I was in trouble. And God broke my heart. He saved me. I remember invitation being given, preacher standing up there, and I stepped out. I came and I got saved. Oh, God broke my heart. I remember the tears of brokenness. Afterwards, I went to the bathroom there and washed my face and dried all the tears up. And I don't know what happened, but I took my jacket off and I reversed it. And I put that white side out. And I've never forgotten. That's what God did for me that night. He took me, an old dirty sinner, just as black as could be, and He washed me, and He made me white. He cleansed me. He saved me. You know, I don't get tired of telling that story. You get tired of telling yours. He has been so good to me. I cannot tell it all. It didn't stop there. He changed my life. And He's still changing it today, by the way. Oh, me. He's given me victories over the world. Oh, I haven't arrived, but I'm on my way. He's given me victories over the world, over the flesh, even over the devil. I beat the devil times. You can, in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can have victory. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings. Oh, I used to sing another song. Blessing after blessing keeps on following me. Now, I'm not wanting to sing specials in the church. I'm just telling you, it illustrates the point. God's been so good to His people. Come on now. Let's just start telling everybody about it. Amen. Why not get on the telephone this afternoon, call somebody and say, hey, just want to tell you what God's done in my life. Maybe it was 10 years ago. That's okay. That's all right. Hey, 20 years ago? 30? Maybe it was last night. God's been so good to us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Oh, our young people, they're leaving. Many of them, they're leaving. I come from a big church, good sized church, and they're leaving. Ones that I used to be their pastor, they're leaving now. Some, not all, praise God, not all. Do you know one reason I think young people today is, I just don't think they've come to know the Lord. Oh, they hear about Him through the preaching, and they hear about Him in Sunday school, but I think we ought to just sit them down more often, just out of love, and just talk about God. Make it personal. Not just a lesson out of the Bible. Not just a message out of the Bible, but they need to see that it's real. Is it real? Is your salvation real? Did God save you? Did God change your life? Is there anybody here that could testify and you could stand up and say, boy, I was, and God, when God came in, He just changed me. Amen. Is that your testimony? It ought to be in some area. You may not have been an alcoholic. You may not have been a drug addict. You may not have been an adulterer. You may not have been a liar, but you were something in sin. And Jesus Christ, when He became your Savior, not only saved you from hell, but gave you a new life. And that new life brings changes. And you and I ought to praise God. We ought to praise Him. We ought to tell Him, thank you, Lord. Amen. But we ought to tell others. Hey, let me tell you what God's done for me. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful work. You know, your list would be different than mine. He's been good to all of us. Your list would be different than mine. We'll have some sames on it. You know what I'm saying? But you'll have some things that maybe I don't have on my list. I'll have some things. But He's been good to us. And His wonderful works. All we need to praise the Lord to the children of men. Brother Jacob has a song for us to sing. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Here's what we want to do this morning. He's going to come and He's going to lead us in that song. And we're going to sing it. But if there's somebody here that hasn't received Christ, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. If you die right now, you're going to hell. But God's ready. Jesus is ready. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're willing to repent and receive Christ today. Today He'll deliver you from your trouble. And you can have peace in your heart. You can walk out of here today with the joy of the Lord. I tell you what, I'm going to wait right here. If you want to be saved, like to meet with you right here. Just like to talk to you, share a little more with you from God's Word. Maybe one of the other men or one of the other ladies will share with you. But today, would you come and receive Christ as your Savior? Would you let Him begin a life of goodness for you? And Christians, if you want to just come and pray, you feel led, but whatever. But let's sing to the Lord and let's praise Him. But I'm waiting. I'm waiting for one, two, three, whoever. Don't wait. Today, come and receive Christ. He's waiting for you.